Parashas Shoiftim. Shoiftim v'shoitrim titim l'cha b'chol sherech. Okay, there are two words here. The parasha begins with two words. Shoiftim v'shoitrim. Titim l'cha b'chol sherech asher Hashem l'kecha noisein l'cha l'shvatecha. And then Dr. Frucht, shalom aleichem. And then it says over here, v'shoftu esa mishpat tzedek. When you'll have shoiftim and shoitrim, they will judge the people with mishpat tzedek. What is the difference between a shoifet and a shoiter? There's instructions here, shoiftim v'shoitrim. So Rashi elaborates. Rashi is the ikar. Rashi, of course, is the, you can't go even one mashu move forward without learning Rashi. And Rashi learns that a shoiter means a court officer, an enforcer. The shoifet is the Talmud Chacham, is the Dayan. He's the one who knows the halacha. He's devoted his life to learning halacha, to knowing what to do. And he renders a halachic decision. And then the people in the courtroom are obligated to listen. If the judge says you have to pay so-and-so $1,000, you are guilty. I have decided that you owe this fellow money. So, and the person says, okay, very nice, have a nice day. So the shoiter says, you're not leaving here until you give me your credit card and we process this payment. You ain't going nowhere. Okay. And if you don't want to pay the money, then, we will arrest you. We will force you. We will do things. We have techniques at our disposal to make sure that you listen to what the shoifet has to say. That is how Rashi learns the Pashut Pshat in the Pasuk. Rashi says, Shoiftim are dayonim, ha-poiskim es adin, v'shoitrim, ha-roidim es ha'am achar mitzvasan. Ha-roidim means they, roidim, I don't have a good translation, it means to rule, or to enforce. Maybe over here in this context it means to enforce that the people obey the command of the shoifet. Shemakin, and Rashi gives examples, they hit, okay, physical harm. Shemakin, they hit the koifsin, and they koifim is the force. They force bamakel with a stick, uviritsua, a whip, ad sheyikabel olav, I guess maybe koifsin means they whip, uviritsua ad sheyikabel olav esadin hashoifet, until the people, the litigants, they obey the command of the shoifet. Now, what's very interesting is the word shoiter is used in this week's parasha later. It's used in this week's parasha later by the milchama, the parasha of milchama. We learn about a milchama person. If you go out to milchama, and there are exemptions, and we'll discuss that soon in a few moments. The story of the milchama. Ki seitzei la milchama al oyevecha v'reisan yisi asus. Rechev, Am, Rav, Mimichol, Loisidimehem, don't be afraid. And you go out to war, and before you begin the war, the Pasuk says, V'dibiru hashoiterim el ha'om lemar. The shoiterim, the same shoiftim v'shoiterim, the same people who have the stick and the whip. They get up, and they make the following declaration. Mi ho'ish asher bono vayis chodosh v'loi chanochoy. If you built a new home and you did not inaugurate the home, you're exempt. If you planted a vineyard and did not reap and did not enjoy the fruit, you're exempt. If you are partially married to a woman but not fully married, you're exempt. If you're yorei v'la rachalevav, you're afraid of war, you're exempt. Who is the one that gives these instructions? The shoiterim. Now, is that what you would expect? Is that the person that you would expect to be the one who gets and makes this announcement? If the Torah would not use any words and would just tell us that there's going to be an individual appointed to make these announcements. Picture the scene. You're on the battlefield. Everyone's getting ready. Maybe you're in the recruitment center. and someone's now making these announcements, these are very profound ideas. That a person, exemptions, you build a bayis, you build a vineyard, got married, yoyore, veracha, levav. I would assume the one that gives out these exemptions would be, let's say, the koyein mashuach mulchama. We know there was a koyein who was just like the kohen gadol. He wore the big day shemayna, and he went out like the chaplain. The chaplain, right? The chaplain. He goes out. Isn't that what the koyein mashuach mulchama is? He's like the chaplain, the rabbinic figure on the battlefield to help you deal with the religious and your moral, issues in war. Isn't that who you would expect to be the one who's giving out these exemptions? Because the pasuk does at the end say, "Mi yish hayorei veracha levav," and Rashi there goes on to elaborate in the second interpretation, a person who's afraid of the averos should be yodai. Okay, Mark, what did you think this meant? Who would you think the person would be that would give out the exemptions? The koyim mashuach mulchama, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe bring the shofet. Maybe just because you build a house. Let's say, you know, I didn't build a house. I rented a house. My shver paid for the house. Who exactly paid? I mean, there are a lot of halachic shilas. What does it mean you built a house? You put in the vineyard. You need people who know the halacha. These are not simple matters. What do you mean you built a house? With your bare hands? Let's say I bought a house. Let's say I'm leasing. Let's say I'm renting. Let's say I'm subletting. Let's say there are a million shilas that come up in these questions. So you need a shofet. You need a halachic decider. You need a big major Talmud Chacham to tell you to qualify if you really qualify for the exemptions. It's not so simple what it means to build a house, to plant a vineyard. What's called a halachic vineyard? What does it mean, the erisin and, you know, the erisin and the nesuin? There are always questions which come up. So you're going to go bring the court officer who never learned the daf gemara. The only thing the court officer knows how to do is to hit. He has a whip and he has a pistol. He's the guy that's going to get up in front of the army and make these announcements. Who says he even knows how to read? Who says he's versed? He's a respected person. A shoiter doesn't need to be a respected person. A shoiter, a person who goes, the judge says, you ever see, I'm sure you've all seen these television shows where they have the judge, and the judge says guilty, and the court officer, they right away put him in handcuffs, and they take him away, right? So those people are not necessarily refined people. These are people who are professional wrestlers. They're trained in martial arts. Their skills are knowing how to subdue, to physically control other people. And when the judge says guilty, you don't let the guy run out of court. The guy is the, when the judge says guilty, right away, you know how to chop him. You know how to take hold of him. These are the guys that are going to go out into the court, into the war, and make the exemptions when there are halachic issues, there are emotional issues. Rashi told Agmas Nefesh, Yorei Varach HaLevav, Me'averu Shebiyodai. What's going on over here? Yeah? What is this? It's something over here that is disturbing. I don't have a good answer to this question. I don't have a good answer.
Well, the Rabbi Elk gives a good answer.
So what does he say?
Torah says it's the Kohen Meshuach Mekama in Sota. But he says that the Meshuach Mekama starts it all. He says it, and it's like the Meturgamin and the Shotrim are the ones who say it over what the Meshuach Mekama said.
But it says here, but it says over here, Vidibiru Hashoitrim, the one that speaks.
They're the ones who actually speak to the crowd, but the Meshuach Mekama makes the initial declaration and he says it over.
Okay.
The Gemara says,
all right.
Meshuach Mekama.
So why then does it call the Shoitrim? If Rashi goes out of his way in being the parish to say it's the enforcers.
I understand.
Right. So I don't have an answer.
The Gemara says it's Meshuach Mekama.
Yeah.
That, and so he explains it that way, that he makes the initial statement, and the Shotrim are the one who actually speak to the people in a louder voice, like the Meturgamin does. He speaks to the people, because maybe he said things that they didn't understand, but it's the Meshuach Mekama that's making the actual point. He's telling them all these things, and then if there are problems, he would have to pass it on, and he would have to explain to him, and he would tell the people, like you just asked. I mean, that's the way he explains it. Nothing else I could say. That's his opinion.
I don't have a good answer.
He's talking before. The Kohen is talking before when he says, Ve'amar lehem. Shema Yisrael, he lo diber u'amar lehem. In a soft language. Atem kavim al yirach levavchem. Don't be afraid of this. And then the dibru ha'shotrim. You need somebody with a stick. This is not, because everybody can say, oh, I built a house. When you see the policeman with a stick, and with a ber kacha chazak, the dibru ha'shotrim, then he will be afraid. He'll be afraid to run away and just to be arik.
Okay, I hear. Well, a very simple answer to this question would be that there may be people who say to go to war and volunteer, and they say, I don't care. I believe in the cause. Just because I'm engaged to get married, just because I built a house, just because I planted a vineyard, I don't care. I believe in the cause. I want to fight. I'm not going to abandon my brethren. That's natural. A person is part of a community, and there's something that and you want to participate. You bedafka need the shoiter. You need the person with the stick, with the whip. You're not fighting. You have to force people not to go to war. Because at times of war, there is a natural tendency to be loyal to your comrades. If the Rav, the Rosh Shiva, gets up and he says, you know, Rabbi Isai, there's a war. We're going to fight a war. Is there anyone here that built a bias? You're exempt. So the guy who built the bias will be embarrassed. The Rosh Shiva, the Kohen Gadol, he wants people to fight. L'shem Shamayim. I'm going to be a coward. I'm not going to. So when I build a house, it's okay. I'm Moichel. Moichel, I want to fight. No. You don't have a choice. You must leave. That's why you need a shoiter. You need someone with a stick and a pistol and a whip. Get out. Don't give me your loyalty, all of this and all of that. We don't want you. We just don't want you for this war because Agrash is Agmas Nefesh. If you die, it's going to cause the community Agmas Nefesh, a person that's invested so much time to build a bayis and he never was zeicha to live in it. You need an enforcer because it's human nature that the people will be willing to volunteer and fight even though they are exempt. Okay, I think that's maybe the pashup shot why you dafka need a shoiter lefirashi who says it means someone who can force you to do what you're supposed to do. But I want to present a drush. Okay, it's not what Rashi says. Rashi, of course, is a drush, and I think there's a degree of MS in this, and there is a consistency between the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha. Rashi says a shoiter is an enforcer, holds a whip. Holds a stick. But this is not Pashup Shat, this is a Drush. The Shoiter is not the enforcer to force the litigants, the Balei Dinim, to obey the law. The Shoiter is the checks and balances for the Shoifet. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Shoiftim. If the pasuk would say shoiftim, appoint judges, titin lecha b'chol shearecha, appoint judges, just judges, asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha l'shvatecha, the shofetu. The pasuk only concludes the shofetu esam, doesn't say the shofetu and the shoiterim the shoter, doesn't say at the end of the pasuk the shoiterim are not mentioned in the pasuk, the shofetu esam, really. Mishpat Tzedek. Really? You're going to judge Mishpat Tzedek? Really? What's preventing you from not judging Mishpat Tzedek? What's preventing you from someone slipping you a couple of dollars here and there? From someone, you're presented with a situation where you're in a court case where you know the consequence that if you judge against this person, you're going to have a hard time. Everyone is interconnected. If you're going to judge against this person, then your children who go to the school of the loser, they're not going to be getting A's on their tests, on their exams. They're going to be getting B's. And then when it's going to come to Shidduchim, you're going to have imaginary problems. That's the way the world is. You always know Nogea B'davar. In life, there's always a Negias. Everything that happens, look at the Supreme Court. Every single decision there's a Negias. Who is the president? Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Everything in this world, there's always a Negias. There's always something pulling you to be corrupt. What's going to prevent you from corruption? What's going to force you to judge Mishpat Tzedek? And the answer is Shoiterim. The Shoiter in the Midrash is not the enforcer for the people that the Balei Dinim have to pay up the money. The Shoiter is, there should be a system of checks and balances to make sure that the Shoifet, he is the one that is forced to judge Mishpat Tzedek.
This is, according to what you're saying, some sort of oversight mechanism?
Yes, 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 yes. Oversight mechanism.
But oversight in the what? To review decisions? Or?
Obviously in society there are such things. That's right. Oversight. How are you going to construct a system? You're going to build a system of oversight? Good question. The world is grappling with that. Okay, Adayom Azeh. But there's definitely, there are definitely an appellate court system where you go for an appeal, and a person, anyone that we know in the American system, a judge that does crazy things, there are checks and balances. The government, one of the primary success of the United
States.
Okay, up to a point, or 100%, up to a point. The higher you go, the more corruption, the more available. But we do know that in the United States, the success of the United States is that government has checks and balances. The executive branch, the judicial branch, the legislative branch, there are checks and balances. No one has full reign. You have to deal with the other two parts of government. You just can't do whatever you want. There's not a dictatorship in this country. The president has to deal with the legislator and with the judicial department. You just can't do whatever you want. There are checks and balances. Shoiftim. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want you to appoint judges. The Shoiftim. And I want every judge to have a personal Shoiter to make sure that the Shoifet, there's someone with a whip and a stick that's going to beat up the Shoifet. The Shoifet's going to be clobbered with a stick and lashed if he does not exercise Mishpat. And that's why the end of the Pasuk does not mention the Shoiter. Not fair. Where is the symmetry in this Pasuk? It starts off with the Shoiftim and Shoitrim. And then it says, V'shafitu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. Excuse me, why is there repetition? Didn't already say that there should be judgment? And what is all of a sudden the tzedek? Isn't that obvious? Isn't it self-understood that mishpat is tzedek? You have to tell me this. You have to go say now, loy, next pasuk, loy satem mishpat, loy sakir panim. What's all of this about? Isn't that self-understood? We know that. We're Jews. In religion, of course, the whole essence of mishpat, by definition, is MS. What's all this elaboration? You know what the answer is? Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk Chof, and the end of Mishpat Tzedek is all the job of the Shoiter. The Shoiter is really an oversight committee. You have a Shoifet. He has to judge, he has to be a Talmud Chacham, and he has to judge, and he's the one that renders the decision. We trust him. But behind him, we put into place a very complex, elaborate system of shoitrim to watch over the shoifet, to make sure that the shoifet is not corrupt. The end of the pasuk, v'shavtu es mishpat tzedek, that's the shoiter's job. The beginning of the pasuk tells you appoint in every city the shoifet. B'chol sherech Hashem v'shavudos v'chol l'shvatecha. Yeah, and what does the shoiter do? The shoiter is the one that makes sure that the shoifet v'shavtu es mishpat tzedek. Because if the shoifet gets corrupt, then the shoiter takes out his stick and clobbers him. He takes out his whip and beats him up. Yeah, and Mark?
I think you'd be very excited if you didn't see this Perek Hay in Shemos, Pasuk Yud Dalet.
What does it say?
Ayaku, Braille. And right here in the middle of the Rashi, he says, Lefichach Zaku Osan Shodrim Leo Sanhedrin. The Netzal min haruach asher al Moshe husam alehem shenema asaflo li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael may osan sheyodata tova sheasu b'mitzrayim kihen zikne ha'am v'shodrof.
Okay, you have to see the study over there as well. You have to study the whole context. Very good. What it means over there.
Yeah,
okay.
Like what you're saying.
Okay, right. Rashi, you have to be very careful because Rashi here on the spot doesn't say this. Rashi clearly does not say this.
Right. So why
I'm saying a drush.
Right. Okay. Let's see what a shoter means. What's the first shoter in Chumash? I think this might be it. I'm not sure.
Okay. I have to go back and see. I have to go back and see. But Rashi clearly defines a shoter is a person to make who is the gabai of the shoifet.
Yeah. Gabai, but he has. He has
Seichel. Whatever. But that's he has no mokum. The Gabbai has no mokum to challenge the Rebbe. You have a Rebbe. You ever see these Rebbes? They have Gaboyim. You ever see these Gaboyim, right? I go to a Rebbe. He has a Gabbai. I once went to a Rebbe only because someone wanted me to bring him something. I went to a Rebbe. I went to the Bayana Rebbe. I went to the Bayana Rebbe. He's a young guy, the Bayana Rebbe. I spoke to the Bayana Rebbe like I talked to you, Mark. I he's a nice guy. He's an American. The Bochum there, they sit there from him, boy, they're so scared of him. Okay, this is many years ago. He's a young person. He was even younger then. Many, many years ago. So someone told me, do me a favor, please go. So I went there and I don't know. I didn't sit there from him. I wait a while and he has a gabbai. And the gabbai tells me, no, you have an appointment? I said, no, you can't see the Rebbe. I said, but I have a shlichus from this person. Oh, get online, says to me, get online. So I get online, I'm waiting. Literally every second he says, a guy walks in and he said, the gabbai says to me, this guy, let him go first. This guy is busy. This guy, let him go first. He has he's an older fellow, of course. Mm-hmm. This guy has to catch a flight. So I had every 10 times, let him go first. Okay, so finally I go inside, I gave him whatever I needed to give him, I was schmoozing with the Rebbe, like I schmooze with you, Mark. Like, no, whatever, he was so nice to me, he was such a nice person, he said to me things that no one ever said to me, like really, like a whole different mahal, very, very nice. But I dealt with the gabbai. So I asked the guy there on the line, I said, I never went to a Rebbe, what do you do? What do you do when you go? So he said to me, this is the guy in line, another American, he says to me, you're supposed to tip the gabbai. You give a tip to the gabbai. Okay, so you have a gabbai. A gabbai. Does the gabbai have the chutzpah to challenge the Rebbe? Rebbe, you paskind. You paskind that you have to wear a mask? Rebbe? You know what it says in the, Mishagas, what do you have to wear? Does the gabbai have the chutzpah to challenge the Rebbe? Of course not. The gabbai, you keep your mouth shut. The gabbai is purely an extension of the Rebbe to do whatever the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says, do this, you do this. Beat this guy up, you beat this guy up. You give this guy money, you give him money. The gabbai has no shaykh, doesn't give musa to the Rebbe. The gabbai is the shoiter. Rashi is the shoiter of the shoifet. The Rebbe is the shoifet and the gabbai is the shoiter. I want to say a drush. I want to say that no, the shoiter is the conscience of the Rebbe. The shoiter is an oversight committee. The shoiter is a person that is appointed to make sure that the Rebbe does not become corrupt. Every time the shoiter issues a halachic decision, it is reviewed by the shoiter. The shoiter, big talmidei chachamim, the greatest talmidei chachamim, and they sit and they review what the shoiter paskent, and they analyze it. And there's a committee in order to keep the shoiter on his toes, to not allow, to prevent the shoiter from becoming corrupt. Because if you don't have oversight, he will become corrupt. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So the shoiter, al derech drush, is not the enforcer. It's not the gabai of the shoiter. Rather, he is the enforcer. He is the person that is appointed to make sure that the shoiter does not become corrupt. And that explains why the end of the pasuk goes on to say, v'shafetu es on mishpat tzedek. The end of the pasuk is coming to address the role of the shoiter. And it's then the next two psukim is coming to address again the role of the shoiter. The role is to make sure you, by having this oversight, by having the shoiter there to make sure to review every halacha, or to have a, whatever you want to do, you have a committee, you have a system. I'm not telling you what the system is. This is very complicated. How to make a system to make sure to review and to make, have checks and balances to make sure that there is no corruption. And that's what the pasuk is coming to address.
The mechanisms in the U.S., I mean.
Exactly.
The impeached. There's a, ethics reviews and, you know.
Committees.
Disbarred and so on.
Problem is in the United States, the committees themselves are corrupt.
Well, there's a certain congressman who was impeached as a judge.
Okay, he's a congressman, right? He was a judge and he was impeached.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that's how it is. I remember Noach Dir Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He was such a good person. I remember once he decided a million cases. He once decided something that was a little bit strange. And it was such an uproar. There was all this media attention about a decision that he made. Whatever went away. Because in America, there are checks and balances. You just don't go, you make a decision, your decision is going to be subject to scrutiny. That's the purpose of the shoiter. The scrutiny. This is a drush, not what Rashi says. But when you learn this pshat, that the shoiter, they represent the oversight committee to make sure everything is correct, now we can much better appreciate why the shoiter is the one who gives out the exemptions. Because what is the shoiter, the whole role of the shoiter? It's oversight. We're going to war now. We're going to war. In the war, there are people that don't belong in the war. People that should not be fighting in the war. They're detrimental to the war. They're not good for the war effort. They're going to cause harm. It's these people, they are the people who are experienced with oversight. Their whole role is to make sure that what is supposed to take place, takes place. They're not decision makers. They're not people who are beating you up. They are people who have a specialty in oversight. There is a war.
But there are thousands of them according to the calculation. So do you need thousands of them?
I'm giving you that calculation.
There was an article in the paper that said in one state they were appointed an investigative committee to investigate the investigators who were investigating the original corruption charges against somebody. So they investigated the investigators
who were investigating. Okay, that's how it goes. Okay, but the point over here is, I want to suggest to you, I think it really fits into the words of the first few psukim, and it fits consistently without only all the times that you have the word shoiter. a shoiter is not necessarily a person that's the gabbai going to beat you up to make sure you follow the law of the... It's the checks and balances of Klal Yisrael. It's the oversight. There's a war going on. In the war, there are people that should be fighting the war. The people should not be fighting the war. They are the people who have experience in making sure that what is supposed to be done is being done. That's why they're the ones giving the exemptions. Because there's a war taking place. Who better to see who is out there going to the battlefield than the shoitrim? That's what their experience has taught them to oversee oversight of the mission. You're a judge. You have a mission. We're going to make sure you do it right. We have a committee here. There's a war going on over here. Who's fighting in this war? Who are the soldiers? The people who have experience in overseeing that what is supposed to be done is being done correctly. They're the ones. That's the role of a shaiter. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's discuss the Milchama. Once we're discussing the Milchama, I have an idea here, which I think there's something here. I can't really put my fingers on it, but maybe you will be able to elaborate and define it with better clarity. We have over here basically four exemptions. We have a war, and the shoiter and the koyein gets up, they make big announcements, and they say, okay, exemptions. Who are the exemptions? Did you build a bais? Okay, did you build a bais? Did you plant a vineyard? Are you already partially married? Erisin, but not yet nisuin. And then they say, is there anyone that's afraid? So Rashi tells us two perush. One perush is either he's afraid of blood. He's just not cut out for this. He's not cut out to see blood. He can't deal with death, with war. And then Rashi gives us a second interpretation. He is afraid of the Averoi Shebiyodai. That he did Averoi, sins. He spoke. He talked during davening. He spoke to Rashi. Say even he spoke between the tefillah shel yad, the tefillah shel rosh. A person knows that he's not holding where he should. He speaks lashon hara. He talks during davening. He's nichshol in whatever the averos are, and he realizes that because he has done averos, Hashem is not going to be with him. Hashem's not going to be protecting him. He's not going to be deserving of the same hashkocha pratis, and he's going to die. So he's also exempt. And in fact, Chazal tell us that the only one that really was meant to be exempt is this person, the one who's afraid of Averis Shebiyadai, and in order not to embarrass him, so we have other exemptions in order to cover up for his shame. Okay, that's not the point I want to make of it, but that's the Chazal. Now, I find there to be something here very interesting, very important. When it comes to the first three exemptions, the bias, the kerem, and getting married, the pasuk is very clear. Yeleich v'yashuv leveso, get out, go home. Why? Pen yomus b'melchama, you'll die. And what's going to happen? The ish acher, someone else either will inherit your home, will inherit your vineyard, will take your wife. So what? So what? That's life. That's war. That's war. In war, people die. And when they die, people inherit their property. V'chulu v'chulu. So what? What's the big deal? I mean, it's a big deal, obviously. But if there's a war, there's a war. What do you expect? Rashi says, agmas nefesh. The davar shel agmas nefesh. It's very disturbing. So what? So it's disturbing. So Rashi says that if people have to die in war, it's a very bizarre thing. If people have to die during war, we don't want people that will die there for it to be consequences in society of agmas nefesh. Better let people die who will not be a cause of agmas nefesh. This is a shocking thing to say. shocking thing what the Torah says. If anyway, there are statistics. The statistics are people are going to die. I mean, that's what they do in the Pentagon the whole day. If we go to war, we do this. This is the number of people that are expected to die. It's a reality. It's a statistical reality. So if it has to happen, better be people that will not be a cause of grief for society. Agmas nefesh, a person who built a house didn't move in. A person who built a vineyard didn't eat the fruit. A person who got married. Let people who already moved into their house die. Let people already enjoy their perils die. Let a married man die. Because when they die, it's a tragedy, but it's not going to bring agmas nefesh. All right? It's a chiddush. That's what the Torah says. Okay? You have to accept. That's what the divine law. But when it comes to the person who is Yorei V'Rach HaLevav, and let's now focus on the second interpretation of Rashi. What is he afraid of? He's afraid of the Averoi Shebiyodoi. I did an Avera. I couldn't control myself. I ate non-kosher. I was driving by McDonald's and they have a drive-in and I smelled the aroma of the trans fat and all that sodium and cholesterol. I couldn't resist. So I drove in when no one was watching. I put on my cap and I ordered a Big Mac and I ate it. I'm afraid now because of that Avera, I'm going to die. So what does the Pasuk say? Go home. You know why? V'lo yimas es levav echov kilvavoy. Here the Torah itself gives a reason. When it came to the Torah didn't give a reason. The Torah just says, because he might die and someone else will take over. And Rashi says, agmas nefesh. Here, the Pasuk says itself, you know why you should go home? Because if you do not go home, and your heart melts, you're going to cause all of your comrades for their hearts to melt. But wait a minute. They didn't do Averos. Why should their hearts melt? And wait a minute. What about the first three people? The person who built the Bayis Chodesh, he did not move in. So let's say Taka, he dies. Are the hearts of the comrades, the other soldiers, going to melt? Look what happened on the battlefield. One of our own was killed. And you know what this person was? He built a house and he never moved in. I have such agmas nefesh. My heart now has melted. I can't even fight anymore. I give up. I wave the white flag. It doesn't say that in Chumash. If the person who built a house, who planted a vineyard, who got married, goes to war, and gets killed in war, it has absolutely, from the pasuk, the pshuta shel mikra, it has absolutely no effect on the outcome of the battle. The battle will be won regardless. We're going to fight, we're all pumped up, we're all psyched up, we're all gonna win, we're all ready to win. It's going to be a Mulchama. Hashem is with us. We go to fight. This guy dies. That guy dies. That guy dies. This guy built a house. This guy built a vineyard. This guy got engaged. They're dead. Nu, agmas nefesh. But let's continue to fight. The outcome of the war will be absolutely no different whatsoever because these three people died. Hashem says, still, you know, agmas nefesh. I don't want to cause, if people have to die, I'd rather people die that don't cause agmas nefesh than people who don't have agmas nefesh. But the battle will be won just the same. But if you got a guy who confesses while they're sitting there in the bunker that, you know what, I did an Avera. I spoke during davening. I said Lashon Hara. I ate chazer. I was watching on the internet things I really should not be seeing. And because of that, you know something, I'm afraid I'm going to die. And all of the fellow soldiers hear this. And you know what happened? And they're tzaddikim gemurim. They never did these other. They don't even know what the internet is. They don't even know what it means to talk during davening. They never spoke one word of Lashon Hara their whole life. But when they see in front of them a person who confesses that he did an avera, and now he's afraid to fight, the pasuk says, all of the soldiers in the war, their heart melts. And they give up. They give up. They have no resolve, no desire to fight. They're ready to raise the white flag, and if they don't raise the white, they'll be murdered. They'll all be wiped out in 1 second. Why? If the guy who built a house, built a vineyard, planted a vineyard, got married, if he dies, okay, terrible. Oy, 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 oy. But we're still strong. We're going to fight. We're going to win the war. So just because the guy sitting next to you did an avera and his heart melts, so you're afraid? What are you afraid of? You see from this an incredible chiddush. You see from this an incredible insight in religion. A person who is an avarion, a bal avera, it's a disease. It's a disease that's contagious. A person who built a house and dies, it's a tragedy. But it's not a disease. It's not going to spread. It's not like corona. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. So what do? You cry, you mourn. Life goes on. It's a tragedy. I don't have to worry it's going to happen to me. It's not a disease. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to wear gloves. I don't have to go and wash my hands 100 times a day. A tragedy happened to him. No. Agmas nefesh. Agmas nefesh, right? Agmas nefesh. So you'll go to the shloshim, you'll go to the cemetery, you'll do all the right things in order to participate in agmas nefesh. But it doesn't affect, but it's not going to change the world. A person who has done averos and acknowledges he's a balavarian, and because of that he realizes he's in a lot of trouble. I'm a balavera. I'm in a lot of trouble. Hashem is not going to protect me. The other people who did not do averos, they're affected. They're affected. They begin to imagine, you know what, maybe I did do avero. I mean, it's not so clear what exactly, why, doesn't say exactly why their hearts melt. V'lo yimas es levav echov kilvovoy. I'm assuming it means that the same way this guy did averos, I also did averos. You also begin to imagine, or you also begin to uncover, ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yecheh tov. When a person does an avera, and it becomes known that he did an avera, that has an effect on other people. The awareness that a person can rebel against Hashem and do an avera, it changes another person. How could a person do an avera? You have a nesayin. When you hear about in this world, there's a person who has done an avera, it affects you. It means if he can do an avera, I can also do an avera. And one thing leads to another. You know what? We do avera, so Hashem doesn't protect us. We're all going to die anyway, so therefore it's all over. You learn from this parsha of Milchama that when Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lo Ze, when you are aware of another person who has done an avera, it's contagious. And just because we're not all at this moment on the battlefield, but we're on another, we really all are on the battlefield. That's really the truth. Life is one big battle. And when you hear another person did an avera, there's a danger that it's going to yimas levav echov kilvavo. It's a little confusing how that works. You have to really think about it and clearly define the psychology of what it means. But you cannot deny the fact, the contrast. What I'm trying just to point out is the contrast between the exemptions of the bias, the kerem, the isha, where it's not a matter of the war. It's where this is a matter of the war will be lost, because when a person does an avera and it's acknowledged, it has an effect on other people, and the war can be lost because of the avera of one person.
And interestingly, it's very beautiful you say. And the other three, it says pen yamus. Doesn't use that expression here.
Exactly what I said. It's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly the point I'm saying. The point I'm saying is exactly. I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. It says by the other three, pen yamus ba milchama v'ish acher. What about the war? The war goes on. The war will be won. It's a tragedy. But when a person on the battlefield has done an avera, and now he's afraid of his averos, what does the pasuk say? V'lo yimas. He should not cause the hearts of his friends, levav echav kilvavo. It's contagious. Their hearts are gonna melt. And when their hearts melt, when their hearts melt, they're all gonna die. So you learn from this is that the arvos, kol Yisrael arevim zeh lo zeh. When one person does an avera, it has an effect upon other people. It's not the same. When Rachmana Litzlan is a tragedy, there's a tragedy. No one's denying the agmas nefesh, but life goes on. Life goes on. But not when you hear that someone did an avera, life does not go on. Life decays. Life comes to an end. Let's go to another idea. We have here in this week's parasha the melech, the rule of the melech. The melech is instructed to the time will come, the Torah says, ki atov ol oretz asher. I'm sorry, this is the wrong parasha. We have the rule here of ki savayel aretz hashem hashem kach nosin lachol nosin lach v'yishtov yashat v'yamarta asima alai melech. There indeed is a mitzvah to appoint a melech for Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk goes on to say same tosim. Okay, there are a whole long set of rules. And it says, Rak lo yarbe lo susim, v'lo yarbe lo noshim, and v'lo yar, and, what else does it say? Kesev v'zahav v'lo yarbe lo ma'oid. V'lo yachashivto, and then it goes on to say, v'chosav lo es mishnei ha-Torah hazois. He has to write for himself mishnei. So Rashi picks up on the word mishnei. Mishnei is lashon of a second. Mishnei is an unusual word. Mishnei HaTorah HaZois Al Sefer Milifnei HaKoyanim HaLevim. So Rashi says, Pasuk Yud Ches, Mishnei, the word Mishnei means two, double. Shnei Shtei Sifrei Torahs. A melech has to have two Sifrei Torahs. He has to write for himself two of them. One is not enough. Achash Imunachas Bebeski Nozov. One he keeps at home. The achas shenichneses v'yotzeis imoy, one goes out with him. Wherever he goes, it goes with him. Okay? It goes with him. You can imagine, lahavdil elef alfei havdalot, wherever the President of the United States goes, he has an entourage. There's always an ambulance that follows him. There's always a communication vehicle that follows him. There's always people that can launch nuclear missiles that follow him. Wherever the president goes, they have an entourage with all of these people. They have everything possibly available that you could ever need in a moment's notice. Especially when you want to blow up the world on a moment's notice, the button's right there. The football is right there, right by his side. Can't go, don't leave home without. Don't leave home without the trigger to blow up the world. It's not a joke. That's how it is. Okay. So here, when the melech goes, the Torah says, when the melech, you know what he has to take with him? You don't need to take the football with you. You don't need an ambulance. You don't need, there's hatzalah, they'll come very quickly. You don't have to worry. You don't need to have backup another beast because called chaverim, they'll come fix your flat tires. The melech of Klal Yisrael doesn't need to have an entourage. We in Klal Yisrael have services. We have very good services. We'll come very quickly to your aid. Hatzalah will get to you. Even in Cuba, they'll send in a helicopter. Hatzalah will come to you. Don't worry. But what must the melech go out with? A sefer Torah. The only thing the melech has to go out with is entourage. He has to take with him a sefer Torah. Isn't that amazing? That's what, you ever see the Rebbes? The Rebbes, when they travel, you know what they travel with? They travel with their chairs. They have a mobile. And when the Rebbe comes, they bring in the chair, the Rebbe's chair. The Rebbe goes to Menachem Avil. So before the Rebbe comes in, the team comes in and they put down the Rebbe's chair. So the Rebbe, I'm not joking, some of the Rebbes, they have a whole team that travels with them and they did all of his needs. Okay, the Melech doesn't need any of this. The Melech just needs one thing, a Sefer Torah. And then it goes on to say, V'hoi Sa'imai, the Karev Kol Yimei Chayav, L'man Yilman, he should learn L'yiras Hashem Eloi Kav, L'shmer is called Dibra Torah Azayis, V'eskukim O'ilu La'asayisam, L'vil T'irum L'vavav Me'achav, L'vil T'isum Min HaMisa Yom Nusmol. Now all that's very obvious. You have a Sefer Torah to learn the Torah. Yiras Shamayim, right? Isn't that what the Sefer Torah is all about? The purpose of having a Sefer Torah is to learn Torah. What do you learn? You learn Torah and Yiras Shamayim, you learn the ways of Hashem. So everything so far is very straightforward. But then it says something that really doesn't belong here. It says over here, Leman, this is a blessing. The only thing that it says about the Sefer Torah of the Kohen Gadol is, that's really doesn't belong here, is Leman Yarech Yamim Al Mamlachtoi Hu Uvona Bekerev Kol Yisrael. It gives him a bracha. Kohen, have in your possession the Sefer Torah. What do you do with the Sefer Torah? Well, what you do with it is you learn. What else are you supposed to do with the Sefer Torah? You read what it says. And you read what it says, and in the Torah will tell you to fear Hashem, to do His mitzvahs, levilti surman and leman yom nusmo. That's what you're supposed to do. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in this parasha of the Melech, we give him a blessing. If you'll learn, if you'll take the Sefer Torah with you, and you'll read what it's, and you'll read what it says in the Sefer Torah, and you'll take it seriously, guess what? You get a blessing. You know what the blessing is? Arichas Yomim. Arichas Yomim. Now, Arichas Yomim is not something that the Torah gives away very quickly in the Torah. We know there are only two mitzvahs for which the Torah promises Arichas Yomim. Now, even though it says in Kriyat Shema, L'man Yarichu Yomecha Al Adam Asher Hashem Lech Nosin Loch, it says that the general blessing of Arichas Yomim in Kriyat Shema, L'man Yarichu Yomim. Okay, so the Torah does promise Arichas Yomim in general, V'hoyo Im Shemoya Tishmul Mitzvah Sai Asher Nochi Mitzvah Ve'eschem. We have a general blessing of Arichas Yomim. Okay, let me go to the Kriyat Shema. Leman yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem. Okay, it's not really true. It doesn't say arichas, it says yirbu. Is yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem the same thing as arichas yamim? I don't know. It sounds like it is. Alright, but anyway then, let's focus on two specific mitzvahs. Not just a general description of arichas yamim. There are two specific mitzvahs for which Hashem promises arichas yamim. And what are they? Kibud av vo'em. Number two, shiluach hakan. What is kibud av vo'em really all about? Kibud av vo'em, it's not only when parents are alive. In fact, some will tell you there's even more kibud av vo'em when the parents are not alive. The fact that you continue to preserve their legacy, their mesora, you're a good person, you continue down the chinuch, in the chinuch that they have given you, and you give it over to your children, that is the ultimate honor. It's to preserve the legacy, to preserve the tradition. What is the other mitzvah, Shluach HaKein, all about? If you were to summarize Shluach HaKein, don't take advantage of another person's vulnerability just because you can. L'sikach ho'em al habanim. Here you have, you come, ki yikare, kan sipar baderech. I'm traveling on the road. I come across a mother and her children. They are nothing connected me. They're vulnerable. I can just take away the eggs right in front of the mother and torture her to death by stealing her children in front of her face. The Torah says, you know something? Don't take advantage. Just because you're a person, you're macho, you're strong, you're a dominant male, don't take advantage of this poor old mother. Don't take advantage. Don't take away her children in front of her face. Send the mother away. She should not have to see this, the abduction. She have to see that you take away the babies in front of her. That's a pashup shah in the mitzvah. I know there are all these mystical concepts of the segulis, v'chulu, of Mashiach. These are all very mystical things. I'm not going down that path right now. Right now I want to do derech pshat. Derech pshat is don't take advantage just because you can. The Kohen Gadol has here, you can't deny it, has two Sifrei Torah. And the Torah tells the Kohen Gadol, read what it says. Read what it says in these books. You have one at home and one with you on the road. And then the Torah says something which is not expected. It tells, gives them a bracha. You want to give a bracha, there are many brachas you can give. You can go and give a bracha for good children, give a bracha for parnot. There's an unlimited number of brachas. The Torah goes like, baruch atah bo'yah, baruch atah basad, baruch atah b'yecha. And yet the Torah gives the melech a bracha of arichas yamim, which is not part of the instructions. Two Sifrei Torah, read what it says in your books. And you know what? I give you a bracha of arichas yamim. In the Torah, there are two mitzvahs for which you get a reward of arichas yom, the same exact words. And they are kibud av va'em, and they are shiluach hakein. And you have to, I'm trying to suggest that this is coming to address the kohen, the melech HaMashiach directly. And it's saying to the melech HaMashiach, saying to the melech, you have two Sifrei Torah. The Sefer Torah at home says in it, Kabed esavicha v'yasimecha l'man yarichu yomecha. Man yitav lach u'l'man yarichu yomecha. Arichas yomim. And you have another sefer that you take out with you onto the street, wherever you go, on the derech. In that sefer Torah, I mean, it has everything together, but we're dividing it up to emphasize the two mitzvahs. Focus, give primacy to the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. When you go, ki yikare kan sipar lefanecha al haderech. You're going on the road. You're going out there. And ki yikare, something happens. Don't take advantage. And this applies specifically to you. Because there's no one in this world that has more power than you, the melech. The average person doesn't often have an opportunity to take advantage of someone else or take advantage of anything because what could a person already do? A person is extremely limited. You can't do anything. You're limited. But a melech can do whatever he wants. He can execute anyone he wants. He can take anyone's property, eminent domain. He can do whatever he wants. Take with you the Sefer Torah and focus on Arichas Yomim. Where does it say Arichas Yomim when you travel on the road? By Kan Sipor. And what does it say about Kan Sipor? Just because you could, don't. You can take advantage of this poor mother and snatch her eggs in front of her face. Don't. Don't do that. Don't take advantage just because you could when a situation presents itself, ki yikore, a situation presents itself on the derech. When you, the melech, go out, yoytzei v'nichnas, you travel, you meet with people, you do your thing, and you come across various situations, and you have unlimited power, remember the Sefer Torah you have on your arm, and remember the bracha of Arichas Yomim. The bracha of arichas yamim, what's one on your arm, is the mitzvah of when you're out there in the world of situations that present itself and they tell you loisikach ha'em al habanim. Just because you have all that power, all that money, all that prestige, watch yourself. Don't take advantage of vulnerable situations just because you can. Be upright, be honest, be ethical, be moral. And when you go home, when you go home into your palace and you want to focus on domestic policy, remember the Sefer Torah, the Beis Ginozov, which talks about Arichas Yomim. And you know what the Arichas Yomim is? Ka'abed es avicha v'yasimecha. Preserve the legacy of Klal Yisrael. Avicha is Avinu Shebashamayim, Imecha is Am Yisrael. Your domestic policy is to give cover to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to give cover to Klal Yisrael, is to preserve what Klal Yisrael has. This the Mishnei HaTorah HaZois. We give the Kohen Gadol two Sifrei Torah. Rashi, one you put B'Beis Ginozov, one you go with you in and out. And the Torah tells the Kohen Gadol, read what it says. Okay, very good. I read. And then the Torah gives him a bracha Leman, the Melech. Leman Yarichu Yomecha. So we're suggesting, if we're focusing on Arichas Yom, it's telling the Kohen Gadol, don't just read about the whole Torah, read the abridged version of the Torah. Read the cliff notes of the Melech's version of the Torah, and that is Arichas Yomim. So when you're home, you know what you should read at home? Kabeid esavicha v'yasimecha, the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. What's the ultimate cover to your parents? To preserve their legacy. Don't rock the boat. Don't make the Klal Yisrael new things that your parents are not proud of. Your parents would never even imagine. Preserve the legacy. And when you travel on the road, b'derech ki yikore, read the abridged version of the Torah, of Arichas Yomim, where it says, ki yikore kantzipo lefanecha b'derech, lo yisikach ha'em al abonim. Don't take advantage just because you can, you the melech. Behave yourself. That's the message. That's the Ikur message. Arichas Yomim. And just like this halach applies to the melech of Klal Yisrael, it applies to every person, because every person is a melech in their own home. Right?
That's what David HaMelech meant, Gam Abdecha Nizof.
And we're paid guests, you know, why
he's reading it. I'm also chayim to do the mitzvot and not abuse my position as
Abuse. Every person is a melech to some degree. Kol b'nei Yisrael b'nei melochim. It's a fair shagamara. And a melech, l'man yarichu yomecha, there are two primary things to remember. Preserve your heritage. And number two, when you go out into the world and you accomplish and you achieve, don't take advantage of the vulnerable. Don't abuse your power. Remember what it says in the Torah about Arichas Yomim. That's the message of the Melech for us. Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos. Elul. We're now holding an Elul. Haftorah. Onoichi. Onoichi. Hu menachemchem. It's a beautiful haftorah. I want to talk about the haftorah today, but we're out of time. But at least the first pasuk. Onoichi. It's Hashem himself this week is here to give us nechama. I'll tell you very quickly, in 10 seconds, what I wanted to say is what's Onochi, Onochi hu menachemchem. The Aseres HaDibrois was given with the word Onochi. Onochi Hashem Elokecha. How many times did Hashem give us the Aseres HaDibrois? Twice. Onochi, when it says Onochi the first time, is the first Dibrois. The Onochi is the second Dibrois. That's the Nechama. Even though you messed up and you worship the Egel, and you caused the destruction, the churban of the first Onochi, look what I did for you. I gave you a second Onochi. So too, just because you messed up and you lost Yerushalayim, there's the churban. It was Shiras Aluchais. Don't worry. I'll give it back to you. I'll give you Mashiach. I'll give you another Beis HaMikdash. Learn from Onochi, Onochi. I gave you the first luchos, you messed it up, I gave you the second luchos, I replaced it. so too, I gave you a Beis HaMikdash, I gave you the Shechina, you messed it up. Don't worry, I'll give you another Beis HaMikdash, and the Shechina will return. Hu menachemchem. This should be the source of Nechama for you. Have a wonderful Shabbos, all the best to you. Chodesh Elul, Ksiva, V'chassim, V'toiva, Gugaben, Shiyom, Yabroch, Nachas, Aslocha, Brocha, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Baruch. Good to see you all.
Shalom, everybody.
Mark, it's Shabbos.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Mayor, Shabbos. Eshi Klein.
How you doing, Eshi?
Baruch Hashem.
How was the lion dog face pony soldier yesterday?
Oh, great job.
You too. Be well. Thank you for coming.
Be taken away.
What are you talking about? Meisner?
Biden.
Who?
He doesn't hear.
I don't hear.
Never mind.